Hello, welcome to Extemp Talk. Today is April 21st, 2020, and I'm your host, Bray from Insider. Today, we'll be seeing how government overreach in history has always resulted in bad effects. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. Government does not solve problems, it subsidizes them. President Ronald Reagan. History tells us that Reagan was right. Whether it's the 2008 recession or the war on terror, it would seem that government's solution to a problem tends to actually be worse than the problem itself. So today, let's examine three of those instances in history. First is how the government is making you fatter. Second is the Iraqi war. And third is the current coronavirus pandemic. Now onto our first subject, of how the government is making you fat. It all started in the year 1955, when President Dwight Eisenhower had a heart attack. The president was out of office for 10 days. Of course, this attracted a large amount of media coverage. So all of a sudden, dietary and cardiovascular health became a national interest, paving the way for a scientist named Ansel Keys to put in the present dietary theory. The idea that high cholesterol in your blood system results in heart attacks. But there was a minor complication. As Prager University, a conservative learning site, reports on September 29th, 2020, is that Keys really did not have any evidence to back up his claim. The evidence that he did collect from his 6 and 7 country studies was cherry-picked, and was not very scientifically viable. Now, and this led to many negative effects. Specifically, in the 1980s, the federal government created the food pyramid. Today, it's known as My Plate. To show how you can eat nutritionally. But as things usually go, there was one minor complication. All of this was false. Now, the reason for this is because the food pyramid and My Plate suggest that you should make most of your diet out of carbohydrates. And carbohydrates contain a lot of sugars. In other words, when your body breaks down carbohydrates, it breaks it down to several different sugars, such as glucose, the certain kind of sugar that your body processes, and fructose, one that your body cannot process. And when these sugars are breaking down, they're sent to the liver, and those affect your insulin levels. Insulin being the hormone that controls bodily functions, one of the hormones. Now, and there is a slight problem with carbohydrates. So carbohydrates, with sugar level, they cause insulin levels to skyrocket, to raise highly. And the effect of this is pretty much two things. First is that high insulin levels actually make it harder for you to burn fat, as according to the documentary Fat Fiction made earlier this year. And the second effect is that it causes people to be insulin resistant. Let's take an example. If you have a beer for a month, you will eventually become resistant to the effects of that beer. You won't get drunk as easily. Same thing with insulin. If you continually make insulin at a high rate, your body, in order to try to regulating itself, will become insulin resistant. Now, this leads to type 2 diabetes. The body not being able to produce insulin at all, or produce it at lesser amounts. And this was all caused by the food pyramid, because carbohydrates, which contain tons of sugar, which are suggested by the federal government, have pretty much poisoned many of our children. And what's even worse is that fats are not as harmful as many people say. Fats have very low insulin levels and are actually pretty healthy, as proven by a millennium of human history. But one thing that the federal government even more screwed up on was the processed foods. And this is because when the federal government put out the food pyramid, many companies decided that they wanted to get more, they wanted to have good PR. So they started taking fats out of their foods. Now, what this resulted in is that many companies were like, fats make our, fats back then made food taste good. Like, but because the fat was gone, they need a new element put into their foods. And they thought, let's put in sugars. Pretty much, now what this causes processed foods, such as many of your cereals, and even many fast food restaurants used processed foods, even worsening the problem. So let's see the effect of this. So because of government guidelines, 75% or 3 in 4 Americans are overweight or obese, 9% have diabetes, and over 70,000 people die on average every year because of diabetes. If we look at, since the food pyramid was created in the 1980s, hundreds of thousands of Americans have been sent to their graves because doctors have prescribed food pyramid-based treatments. So as I've explained, is that carbohydrates are the source of the problem today. The solution that doctors, that many doctors have been taking for the past couple decades is eat more carbohydrates. They've been throwing gasoline on the fire. Because, and they've only been following federal government guidelines. So, the government is responsible for hundreds of thousands of American deaths. If that's not it, according to the Fat Fiction documentary, every day, collectively, Americans spend $1 billion a day on diabetes, resulting in $365 billion a year in diabetes, costing many Americans more than what they pay in taxes. I mean, seriously. And what has the government been doing over the past 50, 40 years? They've been getting our tax dollars. The people that came up with this food pyramid, they were being paid with your tax dollars. When the federal government has inadequate data, as they did with the food pyramid, or flat wrong data, as they did with Ansel Keys, then things always go south, as evidenced by the hundreds of thousands of Americans sitting in their graves. Now onto our second subject of the Iraqi war. Early in 2008, President George W. Bush invaded the nation of Iraq to overthrow the country's dictator Saddam Hussein. Now, the reason why the United States, along with its allies such as England, invaded Iraq was because of Saddam Hussein supposedly doing two things. First, harboring Al-Qaeda terrorists, at the time, the enemy of the United States. And second, was holding weapons of mass destruction and having the intent to use them against Americans. Well, let's see. So over a three-week invasion period, American forces and coalition forces pretty much invaded Iraq, followed by a counterinsurgency war, which lasted the following 10 years. The result of this was Saddam Hussein was eventually captured. But the result of this war was 4,000 Americans, 4,000 young Americans being thrown into a meat grinder only to come out dead. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians being killed. And Americans pouring billions of dollars into a war that lasted 10 years. And many people will think, well, if this actually paid off, if we, these lives may have been an acceptable loss, if we actually did find Al-Qaeda terrorists, if we did find that Saddam Hussein was harboring weapons of mass destruction that would have surely killed thousands of Americans. Well, my friend, as it turns out, no weapons of mass destruction were found. Saddam Hussein never had weapons of mass destruction. So we sent 4,000 of our own soldiers to die. And we killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians for nothing. And what's even worse is that, aside from the death toll and the financial toll, look what happened in Iraq. Because we took out Saddam Hussein, what happened? Iraq devolved into instability. The country, once weakened, allowed ISIS, arguably one of the worst terrorist groups of our time, was able to get a large portion of the country under their control. Iraq, because of the United States, has grown closer to Iran. Iraq, because they view the United States as an invader, has grown closer to one of America's number one enemies. And this has all recently coalesced in the Iraqi parliament voting to kick Americans out of the country. President Trump, though, decided that American soldiers were to stay in Iraq until for the foreseeable future. So pretty much, what have we accomplished? Nothing. Only dead people. And just creating instability in an already unstable region. Now, on to today's example of government's overreach, the coronavirus. It all started late last year in China. Eventually, the pandemic spreading quickly everywhere spread all throughout the country, throughout the world, and putting most of the world's economy on shutdown. In the United States, though, we made our decisions on computer models, specifically the IHME model taken at the University of Washington at Seattle. And let's see what these models produce. So according to the IHME models, the estimates were originally, in early March, that 2 million Americans would die. After that, it would be 200,000 Americans would die. In other words, the model dropped in how and the estimated people will die. And eventually, the 200,000 became 82,000. And ever since then, the IHME models have decreased their death toll projections. And may I just remind you, I'm only using right now the top, the worst case scenario, or the worst estimate of these projections. The 200,000 one, the range was 100,000 to 200,000 deaths. But anyway, there's something here. So, and we shut down our economy. We shut down our economy over this. We shut down because we feared that there would be millions of Americans dead and many more hospitalized. We were worried that our entire healthcare system would crash because of the amount of influx of people who need medical care because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But obviously that has not happened. Although there are in some places like New York and other hotspots which are currently experiencing overload, but throughout the country, the IHME models were wrong. And even in places such as New York, fell long short of what the IHME predicted. But we must understand why this is. And we can understand this by looking at an article by Stat News in early March. And so pretty much what this model says is that the government simply had little data because countries such as China simply were not originally giving out the correct numbers. In fact, the numbers that were already given, such as the World Health Organization's 3.4% death rate, turned out to be worthless. And this is because, as the article explains, the 3.4% death rate was taken from patients who were already in pretty serious condition. Pretty much the 3.4% death rate was taken from people who did not really have a good chance in the first place. So that was worthless. And as the Mises Institute reports earlier this week, is that many of the samples or many of these studies that were reported were simply lacking information. For example, the Mises Institute explains that the study of the global macroeconomic impacts of COVID-19 seven scenarios, quoted by the media, turned out to be less than trustworthy. For example, the authors of that study said many governments have been reluctant to invest sufficiently in their healthcare systems, let alone public health systems, in less developed countries. This study indicates the possible costs that can be avoided through global cooperative investment in public health in all countries. In other words, these authors of the study, one of the more widely quoted studies, they did it because they wanted a more kind of more global effort to fight the coronavirus. In fact, many other news anchors have stated that the studies that they have quoted relied on the assumptions made during the studies. So many of these studies, they were specifically the one that I showed you here, one of the more popular ones turned out just to be a PR objective. And the other ones simply had inadequate data to make these projections. And I know some people are going to be out there is that the reason why the IHME models were so wrong is because we social distance. It is because of government intervention that many Americans are now alive. Well, there was a small problem. For example, as the Stat News article explains, that social distancing in all states was already factored into the IHME models. It was simply due to a lack of information and faulty data on part from organizations such as the WHO, which collected faulty data. But what was the result of this? So we have 22 million Americans who are currently filed for unemployment. One of the highest rates in the century. At least the highest rates unemployment rate since 2008. What else? We have another $2 trillion in debt, one of the largest spending bills in American history. Which is pretty much saying to my generation that you're going to have to pay this off. Because, to my understanding, is that it is quite impossible for people to get their money back with tax returns. But, and this is also, if you go back to my previous episode, I explained how this is actually affecting the poor the most. Because many of these unemployed people, they come from small businesses. And many of these small businesses, the first people that they lay off are the low-skilled jobs, such as the waiters, waitresses, which are primarily inhabited by poor people. So this is actually more affecting the poor. Go back and listen to my last episode, if you want to understand that part. But the fact is that, once again, we can see here is that because of government overreach, we have another problem. I mean, seriously, let's look at the obese, like the government's literally making you fat. These are the same people that are making these projections. These are the same organizations. The Iraq War, I mean, if anybody screwed up on this level, they will never be taken serious again. I mean, 50 years of making people of causing one of the greatest pandemics, I mean, there's a lot more people that die of diabetes than COVID. So once again, we must see why in history government overreach has always resulted badly. And we can see this in three ways. First is how the government has made you fat. Second is by seeing how the Iraq War was a total failure. And third is by seeing the current coronavirus panic. Because if there's anything, government never solves a problem. The only thing that government's good at is destroying things. And that's why, when government solves the problem, all it does is subsidize it. Thank you. Well, folks, that's the end of the show for today. If you liked it, click the like button, leave a good review. Now, as a short announcement. Recently, some of my friends have gone together. Specifically, some of the best debaters I know have gone together to create their own podcast, The Gradient Podcast, which will soon be releasing on Spotify and YouTube. Go and follow them at The Gradient Podcast on Instagram. And learn. And just know that these people, they're really good. If you go and listen to them, you will surely learn something about the current political climate. And we'll see you tomorrow for another episode of Extemp Talk.